Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to come here this morning just to hear your word, to just set aside the distractions and the things that this world and this life throws at us. We just we thank you for giving us an opportunity to do that, just as the song we just sang, that we're in the arms of our Savior. And that's the reality of it, that we're able to come here and be in your arms and just be comforted by you, be healed by you, be encouraged by you. We just thank you for giving us that opportunity. It's so crazy to think that the Creator of the entire universe allows us to have a one-on-one relationship with him. And it's something that I pray that we just don't take for granted as much as we do. So I just thank you for giving us that opportunity to be free and just sit here this morning and listen to you. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit, that you just may run rampant in this building this morning. Our little ones downstairs, they are a child of yours just as we are. And I pray that you can convey the message this morning to them, that they may learn how to build a foundation of truth and just be able to weed out the problems and the things that they get thrown at them every day when they're just trying to be little kids. And we just pray this morning that if there's anybody that is dealing with some health issues or sickness or just trying to get over the hump of a few things, that you can just heal them, comfort them, and we just pray that you can get them back to us. And for our country, Father, there's just so much evil that's being exposed and so many people that are trying to change things to do what's right and not let just such a small percentage of the population rule this country for their own good. So we just pray for those people that are trying to stand up and stand for truth as you designed it to be, and freedom as you designed it to be. We just pray that you can continue to protect those people, give them the backbone to say the things that they need to, and just uphold them to stand up and be those people that are opposing so many evil forces that are in this country today. And we just want to continue to pray for the mess over in Europe, that the Ukrainian people that have fled and have no normal life anymore. And kids, just whether it's families that don't have food, shelter, or little kids that just had their innocence robbed from them, that you can just comfort them and just wrap your arms around them and help them to carry on to whatever it is that they're involved with now. And I just pray that anything I say this morning is just guided by the Holy Spirit to be real and relevant, and it's not of my words but yours. And your son's name we pray, amen. So Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, and we'll just read 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So, there's a lot there in that little bit. And I'll just say it kind of as I always do, that there's things that we're going to look at this morning that I will not stand up here and say that I am good at or say that I am perfect at or whatever. It is some of the best instructions that God can give us are within these four little verses to be able to conduct ourselves and to live our life in a way that's honoring to Him, in a way that will make a difference to those around us. And obviously that is the goal that we should have, is to be able to influence and encourage and help those around us. So devote, when it says devote yourselves to prayer, prayer takes work. We all know that. There's, I'm sure some of you, multiple of you, probably pray better than I do and more often than I do. But there's not one of us that's sitting here or anything that doesn't need to pray more or doesn't need to pray more often about things. It's something that all of us can get better at. And that's why if we devote ourselves to something, that's dedication. Anything with dedication. Dedication is work, and it takes work to be dedicated to something, whether it's something, some challenge that you've done in your life physically or whatever. If you want to get better at something, you have to dedicate time to that, whether it be a sports or a workout or trying to get physically fit or whatever it may be. You have to dedicate time away and set things aside to be able to get better and build yourself better, devote yourself to that. So that is prayer. Like I said, we're not going to hammer on prayer this morning, because we can all, if we're honest with ourselves, we can admit that we all just know we need to get better at it. It's something that we can all spend more time in. God lays out prayer for us all over through the Bible. It's in there multiple times on how we should do it, what we should pray like, and that we should do it all the time. So it's something that we're not going to keep in looking at hard this morning. But so devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert. Why do we need to keep alert with things? If it's Paul's talking, we need to keep alert. It's because we have a spiritual battle raging on. And there again, we all know that, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So we're living amongst a spiritual battle. Whether we want to admit it to ourselves or not, it is real. And if it is something that we can grasp, that we know that it is real, and that we understand it and we accept it, it should change how we operate throughout our day. It should change how we handle situations that get thrown at us, problems, whatever it may be. It should change that for us. Is it something we should be fearful of? No, it is not. Because what we look at, remember in the first part of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So who is the creator it's speaking of? It's God. Jesus Christ created all things. He is above all things. So this spiritual battle that we are entangled in, that we are facing every day when we wake up, we don't have to be fearful, because we can say, well, we know the one who is in charge over top of all that stuff anyway. We know the God that we know, Jesus Christ, who, like that song said, is our salvation. When we put our trust in him, that stuff can't beat us, because Jesus Christ already conquered it. That's what we talked about last Sunday with Easter, the resurrection, him raising from the grave. He conquered death. He beat all that. So for us, we don't have to have a worry. We don't have to have that anxiety. We don't have to have that fear of that stuff that's around us. So then what do we want to do? If we're saying keep alert, what is he trying to tell us? He said, paying attention to what I'm telling you. Keep alert. Pay attention to it. So I look at it as like a briefing. If you're getting told to do something or go work on something, you need to, number one, be able to hear your briefing. You've got to have your ears on. Open your ears. Be able to hear what it is that God is trying to tell us. We need to understand what it is. What's our objective? What is it that God is trying to get us to be able to do? Then we need to take action in that. We need to have our ears on. We need to understand it. But then we have to be able to have that action to be able to go out and do that. And then we need to be able to fulfill that action. Whatever that is that we're doing, we need to be able to fulfill it. What is it when it says in there, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude? That word it stuck out to me, because you can skip over it almost. Devote yourselves to prayers, keeping alert with an attitude. But that in it's with what? It's for prayer. Keep alert in prayer. And there again, it's all over. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That goes back to Philippians 4:6. That's everything. How do you pray without ceasing? Does that mean that you have to have your hands folded and your head down and bowed all throughout your 24 hours of your day? Well, it says pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means in everything that we do. Every little thing that we run upon, that's no big deal, I can fix that myself. Or that's no big deal, I can handle that situation by myself. Or that's no big deal, that's just part of my job that I do. No, God says everything. If we pray without ceasing, that covers every little thing that we come upon throughout our day. Every problem that we don't think is significant, but it's just a little bump in the road during the day, that's what God's saying, is everything. Talk to Him throughout, no matter what we're doing throughout the day. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. Call to me. Pray without ceasing. It means call to me. Call it out. Whatever it is, talk to me. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to have to just say, I only talk to God when I lay my head on my pillow at night and I go to bed. Because that means we're missing all of those opportunities throughout the day to call upon Jesus. To say all those little things that we combat or all those little things that we fight, we miss out on those opportunities. Because if we can call to Jesus on those opportunities or those things in front of us, those little things that we look at, look at the trickle effect that does. Because then it's done, we know that it's done then in a godly way, in a way that honors Him and honors His kingdom, and then other people can see how maybe we handle those situations, which then do what? Allow them to see how we are handling them in a mindset of building in our eternal kingdom versus our earthly kingdom. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that. Watch is be alert. So be alert and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all know that one. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the spirit with prayer and supplication. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them. So it's all through here. We can continue to go on and on and on and on and find multiple, many more scriptures that God is saying to pray to me. Devote yourself to me. But it takes dedication, it takes work to be able to have those attitudes of those Bible verses we just read, to be able to fall onto Him that easy and make a habit out of Him. It's going to take work and it takes dedication to be able to do that. So verses 3 and 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Praying that God will open a door for the word. So a question that you can ask, and it's a gut check question, is what comes forth from you when God opens the door? What do you do with that opportunity when God opens the door in front of you? There's many times that after the fact we can see very clearly that God opened a door and we didn't walk through it. And it may be something simple as somebody at the Quick Stop the other day. I was in there and somebody came in and it was a young kid that, I don't know if it was strung out or whatever the deal was, but there were some guys heckling and saying some things, and the kid walked out the door and I was getting gas, and the guy goes, hey, why don't you give that guy a ride? Maybe that's all that young kid needed was a ride. But I didn't do it. And then in my pickup on the way out of there, that door got slammed shut. And it was a wide open opportunity that I missed. And we can see that all too often, that we miss opportunities. God gives us opportunities in the littlest, silliest ways, but it takes us stepping out of our comfort zone to be able to do something with Him. Question 2 with opening doors. Are you bold enough to ask God to open doors in your life? That's tough, because a lot of times that comes with uneasiness. Things that God will do in your life when you ask Him to open doors will cause you to get out of your comfort zone, will cause you to be that guy that helps the weird people. Be that person that helps the people that nobody else want to. It'll cause you to look different than everybody else. So are you okay with that? Are you okay with walking through that door when God opens that door, knowing that it's going to change? Because it'll change you. Whose kingdom is your mind focused on? In these verses, praying at the same time for us, so this is Paul speaking, praying for us that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What did Paul just pray for? Did you catch what he's praying for? Does he pray that he can be free? Does he pray, please, people, pray for me that these Roman guards will let me free. I'm tired of being in prison. I'm tired of this. Pray that they come get me. Somebody come get me. I pray that something will happen that I can get let go and I can be freed. Is that what he's praying? He didn't pray that. Paul didn't ask for prayers for the prison to be open and freed. He didn't ask anybody to free him. He knew that that's where God needed him to be. The open door to spread the word of God was Paul sitting in prison. That's what it was at the time. So what was Paul's attitude during that? What was he focused on? Was he focused on his life, his earthly kingdom? Because if he was worried about his life and his earthly kingdom, don't you think he'd have been begging for somebody to get him out of prison so he could go get normal again and conquer his American dream? I can't build my American dream if I'm sitting in prison. So whose kingdom was he trying to build? So how? How does Paul have that attitude? How does he have that mindset? That's verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. How do you conduct yourself with wisdom? That's verse 2. It takes dedication. You have to devote yourself to things. Conducting yourself with wisdom is speaking the way that we ought to. Conducting ourselves in a worldly manner will not answer the mystery so many people are trying to unlock. What mystery? You remember in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2 through 3? See, this is what's cool with Colossians. It just builds on one another, and then it tells us this stuff, and then Paul's like, hey, guess what? I already told you that in the beginning of the letter. Okay. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Sorry, I'm one off. God's mystery, that is Christ himself. In verse 2. What's the mystery? It's Christ. So if we do not conduct ourselves with wisdom, speaking the way that we ought to speak, are we helping anybody understand this mystery of who Jesus Christ is? See, to us, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit is living in us, Jesus is no mystery. But to these outsiders that it's speaking of, to these people that we are supposed to be conducting ourselves in a worthy manner of, how, with them not being indwelt with the Holy Spirit, not knowing who Jesus is, how are they going to be able to understand that mystery if it's not from us? Because what are they hearing? What are they seeing? The outsiders are people that don't know Jesus. That's what it's speaking of. Why do we need to conduct ourselves in wisdom? It's for their benefit, from the outsiders. And we kind of have a thing at work with me and Dad and Johnny and even mother, that there's a lot of things that we say out of our mouth that we are not conducting ourselves in a worthy manner. And we can say to one another, we're going to get better at it. And then all of a sudden, somebody's there counting how many times something comes out of our mouth after we just got done saying that we weren't going to talk that way anymore. We're not conducting ourselves in a worthy manner. Because of the people that are outside, that's what it is. Is there anything wrong with the word? No. Saying a word, there's nothing wrong with the word. The meaning of the word used in a context fits. I'm sorry. There's things that fit in context to get the point across of things. But when it's part of your vocabulary that comes out all the time, just because, or just because that's a habit, are we conducting ourselves in a worthy manner to those outsiders that are looking at us as followers of Jesus? What are we doing to them? We're confusing them. And another conversation that I just had with somebody was one that turned into your works. Well, you're not saved if you can't show anything of your salvation. That is not what Paul's talking about. Well, if that guy doesn't act like a Christian, by golly, he's not a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. Because the thing is with that, should we, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, should people be able to see us differently? Honestly, yes, they should. Do they all the time? No. Because what did that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? The spiritual battle that we're engaged with, that's what we fight all the time. That's the things that we fight. And then people see that, and we're going to fail. We're going to fail. But that's what the blood on the cross was for. Remember, the sacrifice was Jesus? We fail all the time. We're going to fail when we leave here today. But if we turn that back over and acknowledge, God, I screwed up, that's it. That's all it takes. It doesn't affect our salvation. Our works does not affect our salvation at all. What it does is it makes the outsiders, the people that don't know who Jesus is, it makes it hard for them to see who Jesus is in you. That's the problem. That's the problem with not living out your faith in Jesus Christ, is because it makes it confusing to those around you that don't know who He is. Or even of those maybe who do know who He is and they know that you know who He is, that probably adds confusion also, because why are you acting that way if you really know who Jesus is? Why do you act that way? And it starts to confuse things. So conduct ourselves with wisdom. Why do we need to conduct ourselves in wisdom? And if you want to, you can turn to Matthew chapter 10. Hold your place because we'll be back. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Okay, we've all heard that. We've heard that verse multiple times. Shrewd. Why is it saying be shrewd like a serpent? Original language for the word shrewd is practically wise. The Webster's 1828 is for the word wise, is properly having knowledge. Innocent, the original language for the word innocent, is unmixed. Free from qualities that can injure, not being tainted by sin, and being pure. So behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. God did not intend me, He did not intend you, to be locked up in a barn. He didn't intend that for us. Picture a sheep in a barn. They're fed, they're locked up at night, they're comfortable, they're safe. God did not intend us to be that way. God did not intend us to sit in this church building 24 hours a day. Because that won't let those outsiders see Him. That won't let us affect those people around us. So why is He saying, have wisdom. Find that wisdom. Conduct yourselves in a worthy manner. Because when we go out there, we're going as sheep into the midst of the wolves, because it's a spiritual battle. And those wolves are trying to do what to sheep? They're ravaging on, trying to rip their heads off. Right? And we can all attest to that. How many times do you get opposition when you bring up the name Jesus? Try it in a conversation sometime. if you never have. Bring it up in a conversation and see how fast that conversation changes and that person tries to get as far away as they can from the word Jesus. It's going to happen because he sends us out as sheep amongst the wolves. Now, does that mean that that person's sitting there ready to bite your head off? No. But to the outsiders, something looks odd. Darkness doesn't want light. But light can have no part of darkness. So therefore, if you can show them the light through Jesus Christ, you can show them that light, that darkness will be dispersed. And that's what they're afraid of. Because they're comfortable walking in the dark. They're comfortable living for the way that this world tells you to live. But it's our job to go out amongst that darkness and broadcast the light. That's our job. That is what we are supposed to be doing. And if we can't speak correctly to one another, and we can't conduct ourselves in a worthy manner, are we going to walk into that darkness and have any power over that darkness? The opposition of people to Jesus will often be like ravaging wolves. Living for God will often bring persecution. Verses 17 through 22. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be even brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Does that mean necessarily that that's going to happen to us? That you're going to be flogged and you're going to be put between synagogues and all? No, but what can it do to you? What can it do to your relationships? What can it do in your families when you are trying for something that they don't understand or nothing that they want to do with? Does that hinder your relationship? Does that break down your families? Does that break apart your friendships? But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you're going to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you're to say. For it is not you who speak, but in it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will be betrayed brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. The pasture is not the safe place, but that's where God wants us to be. We're going to have oppositions in families, with mothers and fathers, with children, with people in our workplace, with husbands, with wives. We're going to have issues. That opposition is going to be there. For people, Satan, the spiritual battle that we're in is so real that Satan will try to use whoever, however, whenever he can to keep that darkness alive. Even if it's your best friend. Even if it's a child. Even if it's a spouse, whatever it may be. He's going to use whatever he can do because he doesn't want anything to do with that light. So God says what for us to do? He says saddle up. Get going. I just opened the gate. The barn door's open. Get out there and go. That's our job. Is that scary? No. Because who's the creator of it all? What does he tell us to do? Pray about it. Can we do nothing without him? We're not going to accomplish anything without him. God tells us to be aware, be alert, and wake up. Because if you're out in that pasture and you're not alert, and you're not awake, what's going to happen? Look at that analogy of what's happening in the United States of America today. We're in the greenest pasture we can be in. We've got everything we want. We can have everything from a click of a button on a phone and it can be sitting on our doorstep the next day. What more do we want in life? Yeah, do things get a little bit rough sometimes? We got to work hard to put food on the table, do whatever, sure. But really, how bad do we have it? This is a very green pasture that we live in. But then we get content. We get content and we have our head down focusing on all the green stuff in front of us, that we can't see what lurks in the shadows in the valleys. God's saying, be alert. Stay alert. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's your own personal job to understand what the will of the Lord is in your life. Well, how do I know what the will of the Lord is? Well, you just got to go out and do God's will. How many times do you hear that? But guess what? It says it. To understand what it is. Well, how do I understand what it is? Dedication. Devote yourself to prayer. That's what it is. You will not have a relationship with God, and you won't come close to understanding what the will of God is for your life if you don't pray. Period. How am I going to understand my briefing if I'm not in communication with somebody telling me what I need to be doing? If my ears aren't on and I'm not present in that conversation, how am I going to know what needs to be done? We're not going to be. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. That is the will of God in every one of our lives. So many things that we look for, and we look for signs, and we look for God to tell us to do this, and do this, or go do that, or I need to do this. So many things He answers right here. But if we're not in tune with this, we will miss. He gives us the answer of what His will is so many times. What is His will for us? Let your speech be with grace. Watch what comes out of your mouth. So that you will know how you should respond to each person. God wants you to be out around people. God doesn't need you to be stuck as a monk on a hill. God has designed us to be amongst people. We can't do any good. I'll rephrase that. You can do good. Prayer alone time is good. But as far as effecting, meaning effective, out in that pasture, amongst the wolves, you're not going to be effective if you're still locked in the barn. What's going to happen to all the other sheep that are out there if you're locked in that barn? You can't help them. You can't encourage them. You can't see what they're going through. You can't talk with them. So how do you expect to help them if you don't interact with them? God put us out around people to reveal to them the mystery of who Jesus is and the salvation that He brings. That's the mystery. God uses us to reveal that mystery to people. Newsflash, to those people that don't know who Jesus is, Jesus looks weird. And we look even weirder trying to tell people. But it's the truth. Because they can't comprehend it. It's a mystery. Do you understand anything that's a mystery to you in your life? So what makes you think that they understand who Jesus is? without clarification. How many people, I'm one that I have to be shown something to be able to learn something. It is very hard for me to read something and learn something. I am a hands-on, I have to do it myself, I have to see somebody, somebody has to physically teach me to do something. There's a lot of people in the world that way. So if they're looking at you, watching you, how are they going to know who Jesus is? Because the words that come out of my mouth sometimes, I am far from who Jesus is. God puts us out around people to reveal to them the mystery of who Jesus is and the salvation He brings. Grace. Let your speech always be with grace. Okay, what is grace? Let your speech be kind. In the original language, you look at that, and there's a word tied to it, is leaning in. Leaning towards somebody, showing them that kindness, showing them that comfort, giving them the encouraging words. Leaning in, just like Jesus Christ leans into us when we have a problem. Picture Jesus when you're going through something, when you're fighting things or you're struggling. Is He backing away from you saying, I don't want nothing to do with you? Or does He lean in for you and say, I am here to help? That is tied with grace. Leaning into someone to be able to be helpful. And in a way, we have it easy to be able to act that way. We have it easy to be able to show people that. Because as we all know, that this world, there is nothing to do with anybody like that anymore, it seems. Is anybody kind? When's the last time you've heard somebody say something kind out of their mouth, unless it was something forced or something awkward? When's the last time somebody has truly spoken kind words to you or shown you an act of kindness? How many things around this world and these people in this world are 100% opposite of that? So if there's a majority that act that way, how easy is it for us to look different? It's easy when you look against the grain. When you go against the grain, you tend to stand out. Salt preserves. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Salt preserves. Our conduct should help and encourage those around us, therefore helping and preserve them spiritually. If our words come off that way to people, are we helping preserve their spiritual walk? Let your speech. Do we speak as to preserve others or to destroy others? So what can we do? We can pray for God's will. We can pray for His will, for eyes to see, for dedication, to devote ourselves. We pray for alertness. We pray for God to open doors. A challenge would be if you have somebody you're struggling with, somebody that causes you problems, I dare you to pray for them. And I dare you to ask God to give you an open door with that person. But be ready, because it's going to be uncomfortable. Two, we need to seek clarity. See the difference in the way that we ought to act. Three, conduct ourselves in a worthy manner. How do I conduct myself in a worthy manner? What did we just spend about the last 3 weeks talking about in Colossians? Maybe longer. About your old self. Put it away. Let it die. Do not give it CPR. Do not resuscitate that old self. That old sin nature that's in it, that old lust, that old just gross thing that we got that just drags us down through the mud all the time. Let it go. Put it away. Four, speak with wisdom and truth. Well, what is wisdom and truth? The opposite of it we read in what? Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. Put that stuff away. That is speaking with wisdom and truth. That is speaking how we ought to be speaking. James chapter 3, verse 17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." That's wisdom. That's the wisdom that we should seek. That's the wisdom that we should try to convey. James 1, 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, how do I get wisdom? I know I want it. How do I get it? Let him ask God." Just ask. God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to them. I just told you how to get the wisdom. What is wisdom? Proverbs 1:7. "It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions." What instructions? Those instructions we just covered. The conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. That's our instructions. When you say, "God, what is the will for me?" We just read it. Because if we conduct ourselves that way, there will be opportunities and opportunities among opportunities to speak of Jesus. Which is the whole reason that we're left here. I haven't seen anybody yet who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior who disappeared and went to heaven. Have you ever thought of that? That if that's all God wanted us to do was acknowledge that His Son came to die for me, if that's all He wanted from us, if that was our only goal and only purpose, don't you think there'd be a lot of people gone? But we're not. We're left here. Why are we left here? Because there are so many outsiders. There is so many people left in those pastures that need to know who Jesus is. That's the will of God. The will of God for your life is to tell as many people, however you can, who Jesus Christ is. Time is short. And whether it is going to be Jesus Christ returning, or whether it's just being dead, your time is short. Every day that you live gets shorter and shorter and shorter until your death day or until Jesus comes back. Jesus may come back in a month. Jesus may come back in 120 years from now when we're dead and gone. You may die when you leave this building. You may die 80 years from now. But every day that you live is one day closer to you being face to face with Jesus Christ and Him saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Or Him saying what? "Well, I gave you plenty of opportunities, but you were too busy building your kingdom on earth to care about my kingdom for all eternity. So now I will not acknowledge you like my Father wants to acknowledge you in front of His angels." We got one shot to be able to do that. We have one shot to determine how and what God will say about you in front of His angels. And that is biblical. That ain't just me saying that. That God will announce you before His angels. He will give you a new name. For those of you that like tattoos, He's going to write His name on you. That new name. What will it say? That's a gut check. That is real. And that should change what we do when we wake up in the morning. Do you wake up and do you throw your hands out and do you say, "God, here I am. Whatever you need me to do today, I'm willing." Whether it be work, whether it be home, wherever it is, God will use you. All right, we'll wrap up. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to be challenged this morning. We just pray that You can just Give us the courage to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of your praise, a manner worthy of advertising for who you are. Because what comes out of our mouth, the actions that we do, whatever it may be that people see in us, it's a direct representation of who you are. So I pray that you help us to be challenged by that. So when there's people that look at us, we don't do it for selfish motives. We don't do it for earthly gains. We don't do it for whatever, but we just do what we do so people see you. That is the goal that we should have. So I just pray that you give us the courage to stand up, because things are going to be hard when we're put in a situation to defend your truth. So many times we look at Peter and we say, well, how did I would have never denied you that many times. And yet we do it every day by what comes out of our mouth and the actions that we commit. So I just pray that you can help us to pray more, to be devoted more to you, that you can just help us to be people that you look upon and are proud to call your own. And I pray for our offering today, that that is something that you may just hold this church accountable for, that in a lost and dying world of so many dark areas and outside people that just need to know who you are, that you can do that with this church. Just use the money to be fruitful in that direction. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, Eric's got one last song if you want to stand up. And Bob, you got the offering?